I want you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. 1 Kings, chapter 18, for the message this morning. Now, let me say before I get started, if you are sympathetic to liberals, when I bow to pray in just a moment, you might want to just sneak out. And we'll mail you the tape, and you can just listen to it on a tape. That way you won't be offended while you're sitting here this morning. Just be offended while you listen to the tape. I love liberals. Don't get me wrong. I love to chew them up, spit them out. No, I love liberals. I just hate liberalism. I don't care if it's religious liberalism or political liberalism. Liberalism is liberalism. And I'm going to show you some things this morning and speak on the subject this morning. So I hope you'll give me your attention for just a little while. About 2 hours. About 2 hours I'll be done. And no, I'm kidding. It won't be. It would only be about an hour and a half. Take your Bibles and look, please, at verse 17. I want to read you a couple of verses here. It says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah." Now, let me just stop here. Ahab is the king. He's wicked, oh my soul. He is wicked to the core. And Elijah is the man of God. And God's man is confronted by the king. And he said, that Ahab saw Elijah. That Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." Now I want to speak to you this morning on who's the real troublemaker. Who's the real troublemaker? And let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless. And then I want you to listen very carefully to the message this morning. Who's the real troublemaker? Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you today so very thankful for the Word of God. And Lord, we stand behind this pulpit today unashamed of the cross, unashamed of the Bible. Lord, without compromise, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. Lord, we do not believe that it contains the Word of God. We believe that it is the Word of God, that it is the final authority for faith and practice. And Lord, I pray that you will bless this morning as the Word of God is preached. Father, I pray that you will help me as I speak. I need you to guide and direct my thoughts today. Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want you to use the message. And Lord, I pray that you will help me as I deliver that message. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to see that you are God and that the Bible is the Word of God. And that, Lord, we have to answer to thee one of these days. Lord, may we not compromise, may we not yield our position, but Lord, stand firmly, stand strongly, and Lord, I pray that as we look at the truth this morning, that Lord, we'll believe that truth and that the truth will set us free. Father, help us to understand what is about to be presented, and Lord, once again, thank you for America, thank you for our great country, and Lord, we pray for a revival in our nation, that our nation will come back to the principles of truth, to the scriptures, to realizing that God is God and Jesus is the Son of God. Lord, these were the foundational principles upon which our nation was established. And so, Lord, help us to get back to that today. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. On this coming Friday, July the 4th, our nation will celebrate its 232nd birthday. I have had in my 32 years of being in the ministry the privilege to travel around the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I did not realize 32 years ago when I started into the ministry that God would grant me that privilege, but it has been granted and I am thankful for it. I've had the privilege of preaching the gospel around the world, and I can testify to you that there is not another country on this planet like the United States of America. I've been to Russia, I've been to China, I've been to England. I've been to India and many, many other countries around the world. And I can say to you without apology that there is no place in the world that even comes close to the grandeur, the splendor, and the wonder that is the United States of America. If you don't think that this is the greatest country on the planet, just ask yourself, why is everyone else on the planet trying to get here? That's something to think about, isn't it? Why does everybody else in the world want to come to the United States of America? They want to come here because, without a doubt, this is the greatest country on the planet. When I was in communist China a couple of years ago, preaching in the underground church, there was not a day, not a day. I was there for almost 3 weeks, and there was not a day where at least one person, and many times, many days, there were several individuals who would come to me and tell me how much they wished they could come to America and live in our great country. And they asked me about America. What was it like? Now, why does everyone want to come to live here? Why do thousands of people every day from nations around the globe come to this country with eyes full of hope? Well, I can tell you why. They come here because of a dual hope of freedom and opportunity. But I'm afraid that our country is in trouble. I'm afraid that our nation is in trouble with God. In the last two elections, national elections that our country has had, the election of the President of the United States of America has almost been split evenly down the middle between the liberal Democrat candidate and the conservative Republican candidate. In the last two elections, we had the liberal Al Gore run against the conservative George Bush. We had then in the last election the liberal John Kerry run against George Bush. And in both of those elections, it was a 51-49 split, and narrowly, the conservative candidate won. And now here we are again getting ready to have our conventions and getting ready in November to have an election. And I'm worried about our country. You know, everyone is ranting and raving because Senator Obama won the delegate count over Hillary. And they are protesting, saying that Hillary ought to be the candidate because she won the popular vote. And now all these sour grapes Clinton supporters are saying that they're not going to vote for Obama if Hillary gets the nomination in August. And that's the big news that everybody is talking about. Well, my friends, listen, let me just say, don't believe that for a minute. Now, don't fall for that. Don't believe it for a minute. Liberals are going to vote for the liberal. It's just that plain. It's just that simple. The liberals are going to vote for the liberal that is running on the ticket. I mean, good night. If the Democrats could resurrect Adolf Hitler and put him on the ticket, half the country would vote for Adolf Hitler. It's just the way liberals think. It's how liberals do. And they're going to vote for the liberal candidate. They could put Snoopy on the ticket and half the country would vote for Snoopy for president because that's the way liberals are. They hate conservatism. They hate the Republican Party. They could put Yogi the Bear on the ticket and half the country would vote for Yogi the Bear in the November election. So don't fall for this stuff and don't believe it. I mean, we are hearing that all over the place. We're hearing on the news, we're seeing in our newspapers that these conservative right wing, these Bible thumpers are the ones that are the problem in America. That this religious right that is keeping liberals from doing what they want to do in this country. And we are the ones that believe that this Bible is the Word of God. Those of us that believe that truth is truth, they say that we're the problem in this country. And they say that we're standing in the way of progress in our nation, and that they are now better organized and better prepared and better rallied to win back the country. You've heard them say that. They want to win back the country. And when you hear that phraseology, folks realize that what you're hearing are liberals saying, we want to run the country down a rat hole. That's exactly what they're saying. And the scary thing is that their numbers are indeed increasing with this effort to get the nation out of the hands of those that have some sense and believe in the truth. The numbers are increasing as America just continues to go further and further away from God. And folks, I'm here today to sound a warning to you that unless God's people wake up, and unless our God intervenes, we are going to have a liberal in the Oval Office, and we're going to have liberals in control of both houses of Congress, and we're going to have our country in the hands of people whose agenda is anti-God and anti-Bible, and we're going to be in as sorry a shape as this country has ever been in its existence. Now, it's time for God's people to wake up and realize what's going on. I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture that I read for you a moment ago. Here is a wicked king. Here is a man who has turned his back on truth, a man who has turned his back on God, and is standing in front of the prophet, God's man, and he says to the prophet of God, "Art thou he who troubleth Israel?" And the man of God turned it around on him and explained where the real trouble lies. In verse 18, he said, "Look here, big boy, it's not me that is the problem. It is you who is the problem. You have forsaken, and your fathers have forsaken the word of God, and you have followed false religion. You have followed Baal. You have turned from the true and living God, and you are following a false creation of God, and you are what is troubling Israel." Now, my friends, listen, what is troubling America? What is America, or who is America's problem? I'm going to tell you this morning who the real troublemakers in our country are, and it is the liberals who hate God, who hate absolutes, who hate the truth, who despise and reject the Word of God. I don't care if it's a religious liberal or if it's a political liberal. It doesn't matter. They share the same philosophy. Their goals are the same. And liberalism is the trouble in America today. Who's the real troublemaker? Mark it down, dear friend. Liberalism is the trouble. Now, let's take a little time this morning, and I want you to look with me at the troublemakers. The troublemakers say, those of us who believe the Bible and who believe in God are the problem. Well, folks, let's just think about that for just a moment. The liberals say that you are the problem, that I am the problem. Now, let's think about that for just a moment. I want you to understand this principle. Get this basic truth, dear friend. Understand this if you don't understand anything else I say this morning. Understand that truth is absolute and it never changes. Truth is absolute and it never changes. Hey, folks, look at me. 1 + 1 = 2. Now, that never changes. That is absolute. That is truth. And it never changes. I want you to understand that God never changes. God is truth. I want you to understand that Jesus never changes. Jesus is truth. I want you to understand that the Word of God never changes. It is absolute truth. Oh, men may change it themselves. They may redo the Bible. They may rework the Bible. They may reword the Bible. But let me tell you, dear friend, truth never changes. The Word of God, the true Word of God, never changes. There are men that may change it to make it say what they want it to say instead of what God wants it to say, but truth never changes. The Bible tells us heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. There is a God, and that God has given us His word, and His word is truth. There is, understand this, there is God's truth, and then there is the devil's lie. I mean, that's what, it's just that simple. There is God's truth, and then there is the devil's lies. The thousands of the devil's lies are really nothing more than repackaged versions of the ancient, devilish, satanic doctrine that ruined Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, the devil convinced Eve that if she would disobey God and eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that she would be like God. And all of these lies of the devil are nothing more than repackaged versions of what the devil sowed in the heart of man in the Garden of Eden. And ever since that day, the unchanging goal of man's sinful, rebellious heart has been to sit all by himself upon God's throne. That's been the desire. You know, folks, it's amazing how the devil's doctrine has not changed in 6,000 years. It's absolutely amazing, but it hasn't. It's the same old thing that the devil has been trying to do. Now, I want you to listen for just a moment to some of the thinking of today's modern American liberal mindset. I want you to think about it. Liberalism shows itself in a number of different areas, in a number of different ways. I want you to think about what the secular humanist says. You do understand, dear friend, that humanism is the religion of America today. You do understand that. Humanism is the religion of America, and here's what humanists say. They say, there is no God to help us. We must help ourselves. There is no God to help us. We must help ourselves. Here's what the postmodernist says. The postmodernist says, hey, there is no absolute truth. We create our own truth. Truth is relative. It's not absolute. It's relative. Look here, folks. Here's how liberalism makes a decision. Are you watching me? Here's how liberalism makes a decision. Watch. There's no absolute truth. It's just whichever way the wind is blowing. And that's how decisions and truth is arrived at. The postmodernist says there is no absolute truth. We create our own truth. The New Ager says there is no absolute deity. Why? We are our own deity. I'm my own God. Now, folks, listen. That's our society today. That is where we are in our world today. And let me just ask you a question. What has this liberal thinking given us today? I tell you what it's given us. It has created a society that has rejected God, has rejected truth, has rejected God's Son as the only way of redemption, and has rejected the Bible as the final authority for faith and practice. Man becomes the final authority on what's right and what's wrong. In other words, it's not what the Bible says. It's not what God, who is our Creator, says. That doesn't matter. We've set the Bible over here, or we have taken the Bible and changed it over 320-some now versions or perversions of the Scripture, and we've changed it to make it say what we want it to say instead of what God has already said. And so what has liberalism given us? It has created a society, folks, where man becomes the final authority on what's right and what's wrong. And don't forget now, Elijah said, thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. You're the problem. You're the problem in that you have forsaken the word of God. You have turned your back on the commandments of God. Now, folks, that's where our society is today. And I want you to think with me for just a moment what liberalism has done for our country. Think about it for just a minute. Let me just point out a couple of things to you. I want you to understand what this book says, first of all, about the subject of homosexuality. This book right here says that homosexuality is an abomination. It is a sin. It is a deplorable lifestyle that God calls sin. God says it's not natural. God says it's an abomination. And I want you to understand that God's harshest judgment was upon the practice of homosexuality in the Bible. But now that men in this enlightened age, in this new age in which we now live today, enlightened men have decided that God is irrelevant. God is dead. There is no God. Why? All things continue as they were from the beginning. And the Bible, why, that's not God's word. That's not God's authority. Look at all the versions of the Bible. It can't be a final authority if there's all these different understandings and different interpretations. So we'll just take the Bible and throw it out. We don't need it any longer. And the Bible is no longer relevant to society. And so what we now have are men who don't believe in God, don't believe in the Bible, and they are making laws and passing laws and giving sodomites legal rights to marry. That's where we are in our society. It's now legal in two states, in California and in Massachusetts. It is now legal for two men or for two women to be legally married in those states. And hey, dear friend, it is coming to a state near you. Mark it down. Mark it down. And then the liberal humanists in every state have now decided, well, you know, we don't want anybody to be offended. And, we want everybody to accept this. And so now we're going to introduce legislation that makes it a crime for some preacher to stand up and say what I'm saying to you this morning, that it's a sin and it's an abomination and that God's going to judge it. And so they come out with hate crimes legislation. And they say, we're going to make it illegal for anybody to stand up in a public forum and say that this is sin and wickedness and an abomination. And if you persist, if you loudmouth fundamental Baptist preachers keep on talking like this and keep preaching against this, we're going to take away your tax exempt status, and we're going to shut down your churches, and we're going to silence you one way or the other. Mark it down. And folks, I've said this now for years. I believe it with every fiber of my being. If the Lord doesn't come back, and I don't die of a heart attack in the meantime, there is coming a day when I am going to be arrested for preaching this book. Because I want to serve notice on you. I'm not going to compromise on what thus saith the Lord. And God's word is truth. I believe it with every fiber of my being. And I don't care what that bunch of liberals down in Annapolis say or down in Washington, D.C. say. I'm not going to compromise the word of God. So they're introducing this legislation. Not only do they ignore God's commandments, but then they seek to punish anyone who believes God's commandments and preaches against this evil. Think about this. Think about the liberal humanists and what they've done to our schools today. I want you just to think about, you know, Madeline Murray, whatever her name was, decided that she was going to sue the United States government to get prayer and the Bible out of public schools. So back in the 1960s, she sued America, and she won. The liberal judges sided with her. And boy, that's really worked out good for America, hadn't it? I mean, it has really worked out well. Thank you, Miss Madeline, for your work. That has really done well for our country. We now have a society where the public school system is a madhouse all over the country. We now have a school system where the inmates are running the asylum. You know, I can remember when we were in school, when I was in school, and that wasn't, you know, it was a few years ago. But hey, I can remember when you had you had a dress code in school. I mean, you couldn't come to school naked. They frowned on that. They wouldn't let you in the door. I can remember when you got disciplined for cheating. I mean, they would throw you underneath the principal's office and beat you with a paddle. I mean, I remember those days. Not anymore. Not anymore. I'm telling you what. Here in our Christian school, a student cheats, and we don't put up with that. And inevitably, here comes Mama. Here comes Daddy. Well, how dare you get on my child for cheating? Well, excuse me, cheating is wrong. And your child is going to get reprimanded if they cheat. Folks, I'm telling you, the inmates are running the asylum. All over America, you got test scores that are dropping. And they have dumbed down the education system today. Everybody talks about Japan and China and how they just have passed us academically. Well, it's no wonder. You go over to China, you go over to Japan, and the kids they have a discipline code that they have to follow. And the administration stands behind the teacher, not in America. Son, they'll hang you out to dry first time Mama comes in and wants to know why her little darling is being discriminated against. We're a mess. Thank you, Madeline. Thank you, Madeline Murray O'Hare. Thank you for getting the Bible out of our school. Thank you for getting the Ten Commandments off the wall. Thank you for getting a prayer out of the school. I mean, folks, we're in a mess. Metal detectors at all the entrances. Teachers have their hands tied. Sodomy is taught as an alternative lifestyle. Political correctness is applied to every subject in the curriculum. Sex education is taught. Condoms are passed out like candy. Evolution is taught as a fact. As a fact. And you can't talk about, why, creation? Oh, we don't go there. We don't go there. Let me tell you something, folks. We're raising a society of people in our public school system without the Bible, and look at what it's getting us. Look at what it's getting us. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and you can just go back and check the record. In 1960 and on, when they took the Bible out of the schools, down she went. Down she went. But this is what you get when man becomes the final authority on all matters. Yes, sir, liberalism, you've really helped our schools all over America. Thank you for that. You've really done a good job. But they've accomplished their purpose. Because you see, the kids learn to be liberals. They learn to be liberals. And that's what they're after. Because when they graduate and they're liberals, when the election comes, they're going to vote for the liberal. And that's what they're after. Power. Authority. So that every one of us are dependent upon them for all of our needs. My friends, we better wake up. This is the America that Nancy Pelosi wants. This is the America that Ted Kennedy wants. This is the America that Obama wants, that Hillary wants. And they've been working and creating it for years. They want God out. They want the Bible out. They want the truth out. And they want the absolutes out. And that's what they're striving for. But I want you to look secondly with me. Are y'all okay? Everybody all right? All right. I want you to turn now. And let me show you a second thing here. I want you to look with me at what troubles liberal humanists. What troubles them? What troubles them? They say we're the trouble. What troubles them about us? Turn over to Isaiah 59, please. Isaiah 59. You say, I can't believe you're preaching like this. Well, take it by faith then. Just, if you can't believe it, just take it by faith. Listen, folks, somebody's got to stand up. Somebody's got to stand up. And I hope preachers all across America this week and next week will stand up and say, enough's enough. We want our country back. We want our schools back. We want morality back. We want decency back. We want chastity back. I'm so sick and tired of all this stuff. Oh, by the way, Mad Murray O'Hare, she believes in God today. Are you with me? Oh, yeah, she fully believes in God today. She no atheist today. There are no atheists in hell. She believes today. Oh, George Carlin, full believer this morning. Oh, yeah, full believer. Full believer. I remember years ago when we were kids, Sunday night, Ed Sullivan show, and George Carlin would be introduced. And my dad, who wasn't even saved, my dad would get up and, you know, this was pre-remote control days. Y'all remember that? Some of you, pre-remote control days. One of the kids said, you had to get up and change the channels? Yes. Yeah, you really did. You had to get up off of your couch and walk over and flip a knob. Yeah. Didn't even have buttons to push. They had a knob on the end of it. Oh, prehistoric days. Indeed. And my dad would get up and walk over and flip the channel. I said, Dad, what are you doing? We ain't watching that. Not watching that. My dad had already heard it. He said, we're not putting that in your head. Amen. He believes today. Oh, yeah. Look at a great verse here. I read this verse this week and I nearly came unglued. Look at it. Verse 14. It says, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. Why? For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. You say, well, Pastor, what in the world, what's that all about? Here's what Isaiah is, what God's saying through Isaiah. This is what troubles liberals. Liberals are troubled by the truth. The truth. I don't care if it's a liberal politician or a liberal preacher or a liberal judge or a liberal citizen, a liberal taxpayer. Doesn't matter. Liberalism is liberalism. And here is what bothers them. They are bothered by the truth. They hate truth. Why? Because it's absolute and they can't monkey with it. They can't change it. They can't twist it around to have it apply where they want it applied. Why do they hate truth? Because God is the author of truth and Satan is the author of the liberal lie. Satan is the author of questioning God and His truth. Yea, hath God said, folks, you go to the average college today and they will tell you there is no absolute truth. Everything is relative. They'll tell you, don't be dogmatic. Don't be authoritarian. Do you know, folks, listen, do you know who gave us the critical text from which over 320 some now translations of the Bible has come? Religious liberals. That ought to be all you need right there to make you realize that your King James Bible is the authoritative Word of God. That should be all you need to know that the liberals were the ones that gave us the critical text from which all these other versions and perversions of the Scripture have come. That ought to be all you need right there. I mean, it ought not even be an issue for you. You ought to just sit there and say, wow. You mean liberals are responsible for the New American Standard? Yes. You mean liberals are responsible for the HIV, or I mean the NIV? Yes. They're responsible. That ought to be all you need right there. Religious liberals. This is what's wrong with our churches today. You want to know why so many churches across America are empty on Sunday morning and they have no service on Sunday night? It's because there's no truth in those churches. I mean, that preacher comes in there and he's got his pajamas on and he stands up and says, I want to talk to you today about the environment. I want to talk to you today about being green. I want to talk to you today about world poverty. I want to talk to you today about this and about that. And it's all stuff that just takes man and elevates man and takes man and makes him feel good and pats him on the back. And the reason that their churches are emptying out is simply because there is no truth. There is no truth. What's wrong with our churches today? Do you know why? Do you know why, folks, there's so many empty churches? It's because there are so many empty pulpits. Now, I want you to look at this little illustration that Isaiah gives you. I want you to picture 140 out here. I want you to picture the highway right outside this door. And here's a highway, and Isaiah gives us a little illustration, and he says that truth has fallen in the street. Truth has a wreck out here. All right? Truth has a wreck out here. I mean, and as a result of that, equity can't get by. As a result of that, judgment is turned away because the road is blocked. A couple years ago, I was preaching down in Hickory, North Carolina on a Monday and Tuesday, and I got up Wednesday morning to start home. And I got up just above Staunton, Virginia, and I came around a corner, and all of a sudden, for as far as you could see, the traffic was stopped. There was not a car moving. For over 3 hours, I sat on the highway. I mean, just nothing moved. And finally, the traffic began to move. And we crept along until about 3 miles up ahead of me, I got to where the problem was. And the road had narrowed down, coming down a hill to where a bridge was, going over a little creek. And when the road came down to where the bridge was, there was an 18-wheeler who had flipped over, and it was obvious that he had slid, and he slid right up inside that bridge and was stuck. And that's why we were shut down. He was carrying tomatoes. There were tomatoes all... let me put it this way. There was tomato juice all over that highway. And nothing was moving. We were blocked. The truck had completely blocked the road, and nothing could get by. And that's the illustration that Isaiah uses here. He says, this is where we are. Truth has fallen in the streets, and justice can't pass, and equity can't pass. And here we are, folks, living in a country today where what's right has become wrong, and what's wrong has become right. We are living in a country today where there is no equity, where there is no justice. We're living in a country where a man can take a butcher knife and cut his wife's head off with it, and then his lawyers can play the race card and get him off scot-free so he can play golf every day for the rest of his life, because truth is falling in the streets. Doesn't make any difference if he's guilty or if he's innocent. They just knew how to play the race card and got him off. Brethren, we're in a mess today. I mean, when we can't drill in Anwar on our land to get oil because some polar bear might get his igloo disturbed, we got a problem. We've got a problem. I mean, listen, folks, we have to pay more taxes now, thanks to the liberals in Annapolis. We have to pay more taxes now because we have to fund abortion clinics, and we have to fund methadone houses, and we have to fund clinics so people can go get legally high on drugs. We have to fund the gambling industry, the horse racing industry. I mean, that is now put on us because of liberalism. Thank you, liberalism. You see, the problem today is the truth is not the truth anymore. That's right. Truth is not the truth. And until America wakes up and realizes that truth is absolute, we are going to continue to see the injustice And we're going to continue to see the inequality. And we're going to continue to see the judgment unable to pass by. Now listen very carefully, dear friend. You say, well, Pastor, man, what's the use? All right, here's the use. Truth may fall in the street, but truth will never die. It will never die. I mean, our world may reject truth. Our world may deny truth. Our world may mock truth. Some liberal may stand in the pulpit or stand in the classroom and say, this is a new age and we need to change with the changing of the times. But the truth does not die. The truth does not falter. The truth does not change. Folks, the Bible is still the Word of God. Jesus Christ is still the virgin-born Son of God. I don't care what these modern perversions of the Scripture, they might get over there in Isaiah and say, oh, we don't like that virgin thing. Let's pull that out of there and put young maiden in it. Go ahead, dear friend. It doesn't change the truth. Jesus is still the virgin-born Son of God. He's still the only way to God. He's still the only one that was able to go to Calvary's cross and have your sins and mine put up on his back. Go ahead and change it if you want to. Doesn't change the truth. The truth will stand. And dear friend, one of these days, at the great white throne judgment, the books were opened. 66 of them right here in this little book. And that book is going to be opened. And that liberal preacher will be standing there saying, I was just confused. Confused? What, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again? That really threw you right there? What didn't you understand about that? Oh, well, my professor told me, yeah, there's where your problem is. You're listening to a professor instead of listening to God. Let's get back to the book, folks. That's what America needs to do. Listen, the Bible is still the Word of God, and the truth doesn't die. I know they don't like his deity, so they changed all that. Changed all the deity stuff. Let's just yank all that out of there. We don't need that Christ word on the end of it. That makes him the Messiah. That makes him the Son of God. So they take the Christ off of it and just use Jesus. So we'll just reword the Bible. We don't like that resurrection thing, so we'll yank that out of there. We don't like that thing where it says Jesus resurrected after 3 days according to the Scripture. We don't like that, so let's take it out. No, my friend, you go ahead and take it out if you want to. He's still resurrected from the grave. Truth doesn't die. Now let me say one more thing. Without truth, there is no way. Did you hear that? That's not profound, folks. That's simple, simple, simple theology right there. Without truth, there is no way. Let me ask you, John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am what? The what? Way. What comes right after I am the way? I am the truth. There you go. Without truth, there is no way. Can I remind you that when truth falls, the way falls.
That's right.
Amen. And that is exactly what the devil wants. He wants men to stay on the way to hell and not trust God so they can get to heaven. That's what the devil wants. That's what the devil wants. And dear friend, you listen to God and you listen to his word. God's word will not fail. And this is what is wrong with our country today, because liberalism has taken the Word of God out. We don't want that. Hey, folks, this is what's wrong with the United States Supreme Court today. Now, they got one right this week. Thank God they did. They got one right. But this is what's wrong with the United States Supreme Court. This is why they keep making the wrong decisions about things. Truth is no longer truth. Here's how decisions are made. Right there. That's how liberals make decisions. This is what is wrong with that sorry bunch of criminals that sat down in Congress. He said, I can't believe you said that. Check the record. Check the record. There's a bunch of them can't even get driver's license. Can't stay sober. They don't trust them to drive. There's a bunch of them write bad checks. They write bad checks. There's a bunch of them. But check the record. Check the record. These are the people that are making decisions for our country. Bunch of liberals. When truth falls in the streets, they don't have the slightest idea how to govern our nation and legislate our country. That's why they want to give the terrorists constitutional rights. They don't want you to have any rights, but they want to give constitutional rights to terrorists. They want illegal aliens to have the same rights and liberties that you and I were born with. The truth, what it's saying is truth has fallen in the streets. And because it has, justice can't get by. And equity can't get by. And judgment can't get by. And folks, we need to wake up and realize who is troubling our great nation. We need to wake up and realize that it is not the person that holds to this old book and says, I believe in the God of this book. We're not the problem. It is those who say that there is no God and there is no Bible and there is no truth. They're the ones that's troubling America. We need to get back to the Word of God and obey His commandments. Don't forget, folks, Jesus said the truth will set you free. What is truth? Jesus said, I am truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Listen, truth may have fallen in the streets, but I want to serve notice on you. In here it hadn't fallen. And you can get saved in here this morning. Gospel still runs from this place. We're not changing it. We're not changing it. Oh, I know some old liberal will tell you, oh, listen, you go your way and you go your way. We're all, you just go whatever way you want to go and you know, we all end up in the same place. Uh-uh. No. This book right here says that you must be born again. You've got to trust the Lord as your Savior. That's the only way. You say, well, you're going your way, preacher, and I'm going mine. Yeah, you're going your way right straight to hell. Listening to a devil's lie. You say, man, I can't believe you said that. I did say that.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
So you need to apologize. Nope. That's what it says right here. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. You cannot get in by the church. You cannot get in through your mother's religion. You cannot get in through your giving. You cannot get in through your baptism. You cannot get in through your money. You cannot get in any other way other than through the blood of Jesus Christ. Would you trust Him this morning? And folks, listen, this liberal stuff is sending more people to hell, and we're just sitting back and allowing it to happen. And we need to stand up and say, wait a minute, enough's enough. What's God say? And here's what God says. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be. You just must be. You just must be. Well, Pastor, why do I have to get saved? Because you just must be. There's no other way. And one of these days, all the unsaved people are going to stand before the throne of God, and God's going to have the book there. Why didn't you get saved, sir? Well, my preacher told me that all I had to do was just sign that card and become a member of the church. All I had to do was have them baptize me when I was a baby. Pastor, or God, I would have gotten saved, but, you know, they told me that all I had to do was just, you know, try, be a good person. I would have gotten saved, but, you know, my preacher told me, and God's going to say, well, wait a minute, let me see what it says right here. Oh, yeah, there it is. Marvel not that I say unto you, sir, right here it says you must be born again. Well, you know, I went to that open door, and that old loudmouth hillbilly down there told me you needed to be born again. But I didn't like his message. I just didn't, you know, I didn't really care for that. So I guess probably I should have listened. God will say, depart from me. I did not know you. Now, my friend, you better get back to what thus saith the Lord. Because there is no other way.
Amen.
Bow your heads with me, please.